listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 29th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for tonight's topic, how are psychic intuitions change as we grow?
Well, before we get started, I think we have to say we get Mr. Greg in the chat room who says there's no sound. If you can just write for him to refresh, Michael.
Sure.
And if there's anybody else who doesn't have sound, we just got to make sure, you know, that everybody can hear us. Because I'm going to sing happy birthday. I'm kidding. I'm not going to sing happy birthday. But I'm tempted to sing happy birthday to Michael. Good. Wendy has sound. Happy birthday, Michael. And for those chat and the archives, July 29th is Michael's birthday.
So, it is. At least it has been every year so far.
Every year so far. I love birthdays. So before we get started in tonight's topic, I want to say, when it's your birthday, it's a really good idea to do a meditation and a projection for everything that you might want for the coming year. And because it's like, consider it your full moon. And so now that, you know, it's like waxing and waning of the moon, everything starts to change. So in H. Spencer Lewis's books, he writes about the 52-day cycles in a year. And the first 52 days after the birthday is an excellent time for self-promotion. So, and look, the difference could be, and I've had this, proven it to myself lots, is, you know, a week before your birthday, you're saying, gee, how come I walk in a store and, you know, nobody's paying attention to me. And then a week after your birthday, you walk in a store and everybody's saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, it's that kind of weird thing that goes on. And so the period prior to the birthday is the winding down time. And there's lots of energies that at work at that. But Michael, congratulations. You're now in an energy shift. And
thank you.
The next couple of months will be great.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. So. And, you know, I think that's also, you know, a great kind of lead into the conversation of, you know, growing, developing, evolving, you know, growing in wisdom and age, hopefully wisdom, definitely age. I'm kind of counting on that wisdom too, but, and how it kind of ties into our intuitions, into our empathy and our ability to perceive things around us.
I completely agree. I think, Let's just say that everybody has instincts to some degree, and that's just a natural energy. We can kind of feel, get a vibe in a room, that sort of thing. We've talked about it a lot in the past. And all of us have a varying degree of intuition, which I think is connected to our spirit and universal energies. So as we grow and change, our perceptions change, and our insightfulness changes, and our intuition changes. I know that for myself, how I was as a girl, and feeling, just getting flashes about people, or situations changed, and I was able to channel them later with cards, and then I'd start to feel different things. I'd say, whoa, I couldn't do that before. And you know, my mid-30s, 40s, other extraordinary things would happen where I could touch somebody and get a feel about their bodies. And it doesn't happen all the time, but that was new. And I've talked to many people who on their journeys have had these shifts happen. And I honestly, I do think that it aligns with someone's development and growth. Epiphanies, or, you know, letting guards down and being open to new experiences. And I think that'll happen. I think sometimes things are just random, and, you know, like it's like it happens once and you say, ooh, I want that to happen again. It doesn't, because we try too hard then, because we don't really know how it works. But
right.
I think that everyone goes through something, whether it's a premonition or dreams or, you know, feelings about things. Everybody has it to some degree. Don't you think so? Yeah, I know you consider yourself, you're very insightful, Michael. You're very empathetic.
Well, thank
you. You get feelings.
Well, I would say that one thing that I definitely pick up on is that I am very empathetic in that I do tend to really feel, you know, kind of what other people are feeling. I can be sensitive to that. So that's probably, I would say, my strength of intuition, my area of strength at least. But when it comes to the level of intuition that I see coming from you, you know, I definitely don't claim to that. But maybe in time.
Well, and it can happen at any time. And I'd really like to talk about some really profound stories with people. But I noticed that I'm going to kind of address some things going on in the chat. Dr. Stephen talks about every 7 years in a cycle and epiphanies. Wendy's saying she has 9-year cycles. Well, there's two layers of cycles that are often referenced in numbers. And one is, we have 9-year cycles. So you would calculate your birthday, the month, and the year that we're in, and that's the kind of year that you're having. So if you're having a 9-year or an 8-year, and that'll happen every 9 years, like the true numbers, 1 to 9. 7-year cycles are a different kind of cataloging of numbers. And again, that coincides with H. Spencer Lewis. And that would be the 0 to 49 are 7 times 7 cycles. So 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, and so on, have very distinct patterns of evolution. At age 49, you would start 49 to 56 is a 1 cycle again. So I often say you can walk, talk, and chew gum, But you're in this whole learning process again, because life looks very different. And honestly, I think more in terms of menopause as we go that way. But it's that's how those 7-year cycles go. So I have to give credit where it's due. A lot of these, the patterns of sevens come from H. Spencer Lewis. And it, his material is readily available. You can look at Cycles of Life, I think, on Amazon has the book. I've had mine since probably 1977 or something, and it's a really precious book for me. I often reference it. So then you can catalog sevens in a day, there's 7 days in a week, etc., and how those patterns go. But general numerology is in nines, and working with those nine-year cycles. So I would, you know, you can actually sit down and do somebody's numbers.
I would say, just looking back, the 7-year cycles just, you know, happen to anecdotally fit my life pattern. I would say that when I turned 21, there was a definite shift in, you know, my life, my behavior. It was much more outgoing. And then there was another shift at 28.
Interesting.
And it'll be interesting.
Another one now. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, so now that we've kind of cleared that up, I think that there may be some coinciding with our evolution, you know, in maturity and our intuition with patterns. I am a pattern freak. I think that I like to incorporate some measures of math and science, because I don't want to just be able to do it. I want to know how to understand it. Mm-hmm. And I certainly won't have enough time in this lifetime, but, you know, to at least grasp the idea, again, even reading up on quantum physics and how that plays in, I find that really fascinating. So we can now measure a lot of elements of metaphysics into partnering with science, and that always astounds me. I love that. So I think even with intuition and our sensory perceptions, we're starting to learn how to measure and gauge that. You know what I'm saying? We're starting to get a glimmer of consciousness, the expansion of consciousness, and energy. So I think that everyone has it. As long as you're in a body, you have a spirit and you have intuition, and we're all connected to the universe, and it all makes perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. But the varying degrees of there was an elder in a First Nations community that said, he referred to people like myself as those who walk with a thin veil between the worlds. Now, the thing that he and I had in common is that we both had drowned, and interestingly enough, at the age of 5. And I have recollection of before 5, of, you know, astral traveling and such, but could there have been that profound leave my body and come back, and how that, you know, kind of expanded an intuition is absolutely possible. There's lots of testimonials to that effect where people have a profound experience. I've read stories of where people have had heart attacks, left their body, came back and became a healer, you know, or they had healing abilities, or and not just what you would categorize as being intuitive or being a reader, but they could channel spirits, they could you know, work with energy. So there's lots of, I think, when people have kind of a profound and that is profound,
absolutely,
you know, that your psyche is impacted that much, where not the same when you come back, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I find it fascinating. I love listening to those kinds of stories where people have been changed that way.
It's fascinating because it shows us what's possible in this existence, in this world.
Mm-hmm. One of the stories I came across, and I actually brought it up on Wikipedia, for tonight's program was a woman named Dorothy Eady, E-A-D-Y. She's probably one of the most researched people on reincarnation. She lived between 1904 and 1981, and she was born in England. And the story is that at age 3, she fell down a flight of stairs. So when she regained consciousness, she was speaking in a different accent and had all these other recollections of a life in Egypt. So as her, she ended up a few times being put into an insane asylum, I might, you know, inject here. Quite a journey in the beginning. But she could read glyphs. She started visiting every museum. As soon as she would see certain things, she'd bow before them and kiss the feet of the gods. It was like she was reliving it. And eventually she went on to live in Egypt and became like a scholar, actually, in the area, in the field of Egyptology. And she merged, in her view, merged that past life. And she knew the her name was, she knew where she was, knew everything was familiar. So she merged that previous life with the Dorothy of this life, and before she died. And it's a really fascinating story. I recommend anybody go and look that up, because she was tested time and again. They'd put her in a pyramid and blindfold her, and where are we and what's down the hallway, and she would know because she's been there before. So it was really fascinating stuff. So there are many other, you know, instances. I think not just of where a child remembers a past life.
Right.
That's a little bit different. This was Dorothy Eady. Oh, thanks, Audra. She's familiar with the story. Just writing that into the chat. I think this is a case where it was an event. There was an event occurred that shook her up. And, you know, doctors had lots of theories about brain waves, patterns, what happened in the chemistry of her brain and what filters weren't working, you know, that kind of thing. So lots of speculation, but nobody could argue the knowledge that she suddenly had. And I think, go ahead.
And the theory is that it came from a past life, meaning that she'd already been there, already experienced these things, more so than her tapping into, say, the Akashic record of universal knowledge.
Way more details, way more. Like, she assumed that identity. Who she knew, who she studied with, what her past life was, it was... Like, she merged, and part of what she eventually wanted to do was some rituals to heal herself of what she figured were ails in her behavior in that past life, so that it's basically healing it. So it's really an interesting story, but again, the trauma. So trauma, and I would like to remind everybody that there was no internet in 1904.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's very hard for us in our reality to imagine a world where there is no mass communication. Especially young people don't get that. In the early 1900s, I mean, there was newspapers. There wasn't even radio. You know, there was nothing. So there was underground metaphysical, mystical publications or groups. There were, you know, very secretive subcultures of people who would study psychic phenomenon. But again, they had to be very careful because again, religion would frown on that, namely Christianity. So there was a lot of caution at the time. And so get a note that at a time when communication is, you know, and sharing, it has to be one-on-one or through some kind of print material, then I think it has way more credibility and say, oh, she probably looked that up on the net, you know. So
yeah,
it's... So I think, and in a way, for as much as I really appreciate technology, because we're all talking here for that reason,
mm-hmm.
there is something to be said for what's real, you know?
Right. It's
and having to do a lot of research.
Well, I think there's a difference also between, in this day and age, between having knowledge, you know, knowing facts, and having wisdom as to what to do with that knowledge, with those facts.
Yeah.
And especially in the era of being able to look up anything that we can within the scope of human knowledge, you know, what are we using that tool for?
Mm. But it's true. So we have to scrutinize carefully.
Yeah.
What we're reading, what we're looking at. And it's kind of like if you see a UFO, it really could be not a UFO. Because, you know, governments now have other kinds of, you know, things
well,
that fly.
Technology
around.
Is advancing.
And bump in the night. <I know. laughs> And zip around out there. You know, from satellites to, who knows, right? And drones.
Shadow people probably too. You know, who knows?
Sure.
Why not?
But again, how to, well, I would like to... Dr. Edward has a question in there, and I'm going to answer in a second. But I would like to address how in expanding your own intuition, stay as grounded as possible.
Hmm.
And as you experience new things, generally when you have that kind of a shift, it happens once and then it won't happen again for a while. And then it'll slowly start to integrate, generally speaking, anyway. It doesn't like all hit you all of a sudden and, oh, I'm a healer, you know. It's kind of a slow emerging kind of thing. And so you have to stay really grounded. I think one of...
Such an excellent point.
Well, Michael, so many people go off on tangents, and I feel bad because they lose that sensibility in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are processing through all your emotions, your fears will come with that, your past experience will come with it. Anything that you're looking at is going to be filtered by your subjective reality, and then you're going to lose, and I mean this with all sincerity, you do lose the kind of more truthfulness of the psychic shift. So it's to stay as grounded and sensible as possible and kind of work with it and observe it, observe yourself. Is that something that I think about, or is that something that's new to me? Is that something that, am I translating this in how I process information, or is that new to me? See, that's what you have to constantly check in with yourself about, what you're feeling, experiencing, and what you're looking at. So, and let it grow gradually and integrate, but always keep a sense of groundedness. And the more grounded you become, actually, the more intuitive you become. People are mm-hmm. afraid of losing that when you get grounded, and I say, actually, you get more intuitive.
Well, it's your ego getting out of the way, isn't it?
Yes, I agree. Emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is emotional attachment, then you can't see straight. So that's the way that goes.
Yep, absolutely.
So I noticed that Dr. Edward is mentioning in the chat room about the Rosicrucian Order. H. Spencer Lewis was a Rosicrucian. Dr. Edward says that movement started in 1858, and while that is part of what's recorded in history, that's not necessarily true. The old ancient history of the Rosicrucians is that it was a secret order a mystical order that would surface every 100 years. And it would look, we recruit for new members. And they, yes, they did live very old in this kind of a rotation of people in this secret society. So it would reveal itself. I don't mean like it was underground in a cave. You understand?
Right.
It's like this little cult. And every 100 years, it would make itself more known and recruit for new members. And, like, in other words, share their teachings with people. Those who were interested would then, of course, join and swear to secrecy. And the Rosicrucian Order was very secretive until probably the last, well, let's say the last 10, 20 years, you know, because of the internet, largely. You couldn't access Spencer Lewis's material except through the order. You had to be a member. You had to be a student. Basically, you went through an application process, and you would get your mail out, your weekly mail out, you know, booklets and teachings. So, and you would go by a degree, like you're a second degree, ninth degree, and so on. And learning about everything from energy to physiology and medicine and energy. It's really a fascinating. I actually was a member back in the 70s for many years, and I appreciated the teachings, but like so many other organizations, it's very political. I appreciated that it was in California and everything's by mail, but it's political, you know?
Hmm.
So I thought, no, I could get what I guess my big beef was with them is I'd ask a question. They'd say, well, you can't learn that until you're in the eighth degree. I said, well, I want to learn it now. And they said, no. And I thought, phew, well, then I'll just go learn it somewhere else because I'm kind of like that.
Well, so I always wanted to join a super secret organization.
Yeah. But again, let's say I got to. There's a whole bunch of very famous people, including Walt Disney, who were members of the Rosicrucian Order. And so if you do a little bit of Googling, because we can just go Google that in 3 seconds now, you'd be amazed at how many famous people were Rosicrucians and studied the mystical arts. It's quite astounding, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's and again, their evolution, you know, Walt Disney had a vision of, you know, of building his art and his dreams and his entertainment. But if you look at it really objective, it is always a protagonist, antagonist, you know, and the good and evil in everything that he did. And I always find that kind of interesting that it can't just be a nice story. It's got to have a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think a lot of that came from his mystical studies, to be honest. You know, the good and evil, and again, you know, combined with some other religion in there too. So who knows? But that's a speculation on my part.
Yeah.
But again, everybody on their journey, so...
Absolutely. And it's important to recognize, you know, kind of wrapping this kind of topic up, coming round in that whatever that intuition that we have, it does go through the evolution, the growth, and we do add our experience to it. That kind of experience that you can only get through living, through going through certain situations, and it's powerful.
That is, Michael. I know I've really kind of, you know, taken over the show tonight. But
oh, no. Welcome
right.
to it. It's definitely, like I said, not exactly my wheelhouse, even though, you know, I can lay some claim to certain levels of empathy. But, no, when it comes to the intuition, this is definitely your area of mastery. I can speak from experience.
Well, I appreciate that, and I always appreciate your support. You know, I love this topic, and I like, you know, how everybody in the chat room gets involved also, and you know, sharing their own stories in there and trying to keep up sometimes is like, but it's good to explore all kinds of areas, mystery schools or old, even a lot of old religions, you know, have at it, go look them up, and the old mystical schools and people like Dorothy Eady, and find those stories. Mm-hmm. And it can make you feel not so alone. I know one of the most important things for me as a girl was meeting people who were like me, you know, and I didn't feel so weird, you know.
Well, like
strange.
It's crucial for us, you know, for a human being to know that we're not alone in this world, that there are other people like us, and that our experience is not, you know, while it is unique, we are not alone in our experiences. There are other people that can relate, they can sympathize and empathize, and that has a great power in it.
Well, and that's a really important thing. It's not to compare by any stretch, but it's to relate, for that reason of relating, that, you know, no, you're not on a planet by yourself. So
exactly.
But I appreciate you saying the uniqueness, too, because no two people are going to be alike. And I think that's another thing, just to, you know, as we're signing off on the topic here, is don't try to be like somebody else. Don't try to be psychic like somebody else. Right. Don't try to be the healer like somebody else. Be you. And that's a tough one. Well, what does that mean, be me? You know, because I don't know what being me is, and that's the exploration. It's you can learn from others. You can certainly be triggered. That's why reading is good. Studying is good. Mm-hmm. Being at IMHS and TFU is good because it triggers things in you. It starts to give a sensibility, but it activates your ideas. And you say, oh. And then from there, you go off on your own tangents to say, wow, that makes sense to me in this way. And that's, I think that's awesome. And so you're going to find your own way in it. The hardest part for me in all my years, to be perfectly honest, is to say, yeah, I can't do that. You know, I mean, I kind of look at somebody who does a really wonderful portrait of somebody. I can't do that either. But I can't do the John Edward thing. I'm not good at that. You know, I can't do the, I'm just, and I don't want to be. But it is hard. We have that tendency to compare. I don't channel spirits all the time. If it's going to happen and a name pops out, that's what happens. And, of course, Dr. Edwards bringing up medical intuition. I can't guarantee that's going to happen either. Sometimes it'll come up, and other times it won't. Sometimes I can feel it, but I don't know what, I can't name it. So Dr. Edward is mentioning the story about Tina M. Zion, who was a fourth-generation psychic and also trained RN. And then being an RN, she would get a feeling she could train, that she could translate that. So that's not my forte. I know a wonderful medical intuitive in Sedona, and boy, she's, you know, I get her mail outs, and I've met her a few times. She's a wonderful lady, but I'm not her. I find it, see, I just do what I do. So I can't ever guarantee to fulfill what she does, because she does what she does, if that makes sense. So don't, you know, you can certainly relate to others, get triggered by others, expand, but don't try to be like somebody else.
Well, you can't be somebody that you're not. Mm-hmm. And what's the point in trying? Instead, be who you are. Be the best version of you that you can be. And, you know, focus on your areas of strength with intuition.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we're ready to draw some cards. For anybody who's new in the program or listening in the archives, Michael will pick out a one of the inner oracle self-discovery cards, and I back it up with a support card of the tarot. And if I have this right in keeping up with the chat, Michael, Audra is first, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go for Audra.
And for Audra, I pulled number 14, Energy Shift and New Chapter.
Ooh.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
I love that. Oh, Audra. As a support card, I picked the Two of Hearts. So in this new chapter, I'm not going to take it literally to mean a relationship, so to speak, except relationships. So plural. And new bonding, new allies. Of course, there could be a nice little big heart over your head for a relationship, but it's a new chapter in how you relate with others, how you connect with others, and a sincerity. Like, in other words, I see parts of your life relaxing, and you're able to feel more comfortable in your connections with other people. I also, again, a flash, I don't know, I connect with you, Audra. It's pretty strange sometimes, as I feel like you're healing something with somebody. So, and you're able to move into this next chapter lighter and feeling better. So, anyway, I hope that makes sense to you.
All right.
And we have Wendy up next.
And for Wendy, I pulled number 6, the wild card, entropy.
Interesting.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy. They can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Wendy, I got the 9 of Hearts as a support card. I really like that. Replenishment, abundance, and if anything, I think it's a sense of satisfaction. And I want to see, what I want to say is 3 things in particular that you're working on to restore yourself and some healing. And then you set your entropy better, if that makes sense. I'm trying to use the word in there. But it's a real feeling of gratitude and full that you can move forward now in a new way. I like it a lot.
Right, very nice.
Dr. Edwards is next, Michael.
And for Dr. Edward, I pulled another wild card. This time, wild card number 9, blank.
My favorite.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, in that blank card, Edward, is an interesting thing about digging deep. And this is asking you to call on your intuition. I pulled the 4 of spades, and the other one that flipped out, seriously, is the star. So it might not be a time to act at the moment. It's asking of you, what do you hope to achieve? What do you want to have happen? And sometimes it's to push the pause button and just say, is everything to do with timing here? And using that intuition is the star, meaning it has a way better outcome than you could have imagined. So everything is on your side. It's just you doing your part of being instinctual and intuitive and knowing how to, sometimes, and I think I'm feeling here, juggle situations. So, and really, sometimes I think life is a chess game. You know, it's you know what you want to do, but the timing isn't quite right. So just, I think if you just wait, I get the, of course, the number four of spades, very often that does mean a time of repose, like just holding back, but it happens in fours, either 4 days or 4 weeks. That's often how I've translated that. So hope that makes sense. Just use your intuition and whew, it's going to go big time for you.
Very
way
nice.
In your favor. Yep, I like it a lot.
All right. Well, I think...
Now, I'm not seeing anybody else that... Have I missed anybody, Michael?
No, I think that's it for tonight. I think we got everybody that was requesting a card. I was just going through the chat myself and just double-checking. But, yeah, I think that's about it for everybody tonight. And
I want to say thanks for the feedback.
Oh, absolutely.
Know, everybody, yeah.
And... Always love the feedback, especially when it comes to the cards and how they relate to people. And, you know, it adds an added dimension to all of this. And thank you for the feedback in general throughout the entire discussion to those joining us in the live chat. It's, you know, again, adds a dynamic feel to this broadcast, and we always appreciate you joining us.
Now, speaking of people joining us, I think next Wednesday is the first Wednesday of August.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
if
correct.
I'm correct, Dr. Kelly will be joining us.
Yep, you're absolutely correct. And we actually have a topic that we're going to be going over. It's going to be how to manage stressful and changing times with Dr. Kelly.
We do need to have that conversation again and again and again, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yep. So that'll be a good one, I'm sure.
Definitely looking forward to that. And tonight, you know, it's been a great discussion, and it goes by fast like it always does, but it's because we have such a riveting and fascinating discussions. It's definitely the highlight of my week, and thank you all for joining me today, especially on my birthday. I appreciate that, too.
Again, happy birthday, Michael.
Oh,
I
thank
love
you.
Birthdays. I'm a big birthday freak, and we make it a big deal in our family, and you're kind of like my family, you know?
Thank you.
Like
likewise.
Everybody here is like my family, and so
absolutely.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for all your kind wishes. And tonight it's been a fascinating discussion. We've talked about the patterns of our lives. We discussed how our intuition and understanding of our psychic abilities change as we grow. And we tackled the questions of the metaphysical world. Always a fascinating discussion. So thank you all for joining us. And I very much look forward to everybody joining us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.